Grace and mercy and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. Please come and be seated, guys. So tonight, the sermon will be based on the Gospel reading for Reformation Day, John chapter 8, verse 31 to 36. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, please help us to remain in your word, to really soak in it, and that we may be truly your disciples, and that the truth may set us free. Lord Jesus, bring us your liberation, I pray in your name. Amen. Dear sisters and brothers in Christ, freedom, it's a wonderful thing, isn't it? How many of you voted in the council elections on Saturday? Yep, quite a few. My wife got a bit annoyed with all of those people who are kind of shoving how to vote cards in our face. We probably got maybe 20 of the things as we walked up to the voting booth. But I said to her afterwards, at least they weren't AK-47s. It's an incredible privilege to live in a country where we have the freedom and the right to vote without coercion at all levels of government. And we need to thank God for that. Australians all let us rejoice, for we are young and free. That's part of our anthem that we sing with gusto on the grand final day and other major sporting events. Freedom. This is one of the essences of what Jesus is talking about in John chapter 8, verse 31 to 36. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you remain in my word, you are truly my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Now, I've deliberately done this. If you have a look in your NIV, you will find that the translation is, "If you hold to my teaching," but that's really not strong enough. Jesus says, "If you remain in my word," and there's a significant difference there that we'll get to in a minute. But the Jews who are listening to Jesus take offense at his words. Who needs to be set free if you've already got all the freedom that you want? They say, "We're Abraham's children. We've never been slaves to anyone." Conveniently ignoring the 440 years of their history where their entire nation was enslaved in Egypt and had to be miraculously rescued by God. "How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, anyone who sins is a slave to sin." Slavery is abhorrent. It's one of the worst things that can happen for a human being, to be treated as an object that can be bought or sold. And unfortunately, despite the abolition of the formal slave trade in places like England and America for the last several hundred years, there are actually more slaves around the world today than there ever have been at any time in history. It's a shocking statistic that we need to work against as God's people, to seek to bring liberation and set people free. But Jesus is pointing out an even deeper truth. Anyone who sins is a slave to sin, enchained, in bondage, not free. Jesus goes on to say, "Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. You will be truly free." Let's have a little bit closer look at this idea of being in slavery to sin. I don't know if you can read that from back there. Sometimes, in our worship service, as part of the prayer of confession, we say these words: "Heavenly Father, we confess to you that we are born as captives to sin. We can't free ourselves." I don't know about you, but even though I'm the one who puts those words in the service order, I react against them. Something in me says, no, I don't think that's right. I want to be able to set myself free. I want to say that I'm not a slave to sin. Surely those words are too strong, aren't they? We're born as captives to sin. Doesn't that downplay the human potential that each of us have? And something in me wants to not confess those words. I don't know how many of you have ever experienced that sense of, is this really right? And the Jews that Jesus is talking to also react that way to Jesus. They say, what? We're not slaves. No, surely not. That's not right. We're free. We've got our own choices. We can make good moral choices. We can be good people. It's a bit like in the movie that my daughter was watching yesterday for her birthday party with some of her friends. Finding Nemo. Anyone seen that movie, Finding Nemo? Remember Bruce the Shark and the Sharks Anonymous group, where Bruce goes and the three sharks say the pledge, I am a nice shark, not a mindless eating machine. If I am to change this image, I must first change myself. Fish are friends, not food. Remember that scene? I think it's hilarious. I haven't eaten a fish for 3 weeks, on my honour, or may I be cut up and turned into soup, says Bruce. Great intentions, Bruce the Shark. That's fantastic. You're reforming yourself. But then something happens that brings out his true nature. Dory gets a blood nose and he sniffs the blood. And he's going, just a bite. I'm having fish tonight. And his true nature comes out. And I want to say, I am a good human being, not a mindless sinning machine. But then something happens and my true nature comes out. Jesus reveals the depth of the human heart like Bruce reveals the depth of a shark's heart. Yes, there is something in me that is greater than my power to control. Reluctantly, I have to face the reality that I am a slave to sin. I can't get myself out of it by all of my good intentions and by all of my own efforts. Something that I don't have control over, something that is beyond my own power to deal with. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. But Jesus has come to bring liberation, to change the depths of the human heart. Not just to bring forgiveness, but to bring power to break the chains in which we find ourselves. Jesus says, if you remain in my word, you are truly my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Well, what does it mean to remain in Jesus' word? Like I said before, we are such a visual culture since Gutenberg, since the invention of the printing press. We think that this is God's word, these written words on a page. And so we consider that remaining in the word, the way that we take that in is through the eyes into the brain. That's what remaining in the word is. It's about reading this written word. I like that brain, by the way. That's pretty cool, isn't it? But this is our conception of what it means to remain in the word. But in biblical times, in an oral and oral culture, to remain in the word means to let the word go through the ear and into the human heart. Not just head knowledge, but something that transforms the inner core of our being. And so remaining in the word is very much like a tree remaining in the soil. It's immersed in it. It's got its roots in it. It sucks up the nutrients from it. And we need to know how to do that. How do we remain in Jesus' word? Things like meditative reading of the scripture, engaging all of our senses and our sanctified imagination as we listen to the word and we let it soak into us. Things like Lectio Divina, which is the Latin phrase for sacred listening, where we let the word wash over us and let one word or phrase from God's word really soak into our heart and mind and spirit. Ways of reading God's word and listening especially to God's word that let us soak in the word. Not just like, I've done my Bible reading for today, but really getting into it in depth, letting it marinate us, letting it come out through our pores. It's not something that comes naturally to us. We want to tick the boxes and get things done and say, yes, that's it, I've done my Bible reading for the day. But Jesus wants us to soak in his life-giving word, because it's not just information coming through letters on a page, but it's the living and active and powerful word of God through which the Holy Spirit comes and takes up residence in our hearts. That's what it means to remain in the word. We need to talk about this. We need to encourage each other. We need to find effective ways to actually remain in the word with each other. And Jesus says, when you do that, you'll know the truth. And in another place in John's gospel, Jesus says, I am the truth. So to know the truth is to know Jesus. To remain in his word is to let him come into our heart, transform our thinking, transform our acting and our decision and our will and all of that that makes us human. So Jesus brings his liberation to the fore in this passage. He's talking about how a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. Jesus is the one who can break the chains of sin. Not just forgiveness for the wrongs that we have done, but power to live in a way that is not enslaved. That's what God's grace is. That's what Jesus' presence does for and with us. I don't know if this is going to work. I did have a YouTube clip here. No. The clip was from the movie, The Shawshank Redemption. Who's seen that movie? One of my favourite movies. I think just because of that image of liberation at the end. The main character spends an awful long time in prison for a crime that he didn't commit. And finally he escapes. And there's that magnificent scene in the storm where he comes out of the sewer, the sewer that comes out of a jail into a creek, and he's outside the walls. And he puts out his arms like that and just screams for joy because of the freedom that has been brought to him. This is what Jesus is on about. He brings us, if it's going to work, he brings us liberation. But not just liberation, he doesn't just set us free from sin. And in the movie The Shawshank Redemption, it's all of the main character, all of his work to escape from prison. But Jesus is the one who crawls through the sewer for us, who goes through all the stuff, the sin, the yucky stuff in our lives to bring us out into freedom, into the glorious freedom of the children of God. He doesn't just release us from slavery. He is a son of God, and he makes us sons and daughters of God. And so what Jesus is on about is liberation. He has come, it says in Luke chapter 4, to bring freedom to the captives. But Jesus is also on about giving us a new identity, No longer slaves to sin. We don't have to be enchained. Jesus has broken the power of sin for us. And now we are sons and daughters of the living God. Jesus' message of liberation, his gift to you and me, is not just the forgiveness of sins, but a new identity as God's beloved people. Jesus says, if you remain in my word, then you will know the truth. Then you'll be my disciples and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus is the truth who sets you free. Jesus is the Son who brings you freedom indeed from all of your addiction, from all of your sin, from all of the things that bind you. Thanks be to God for the glorious liberation that he brings to us through his Son. Amen.